Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's birthday season in the Dixon house, and if you were on last week, you got to hear the fun journey that was taken and the interrupted birthday party with the skunk. And P.S., if you haven't been following along, the traps have been out since Wednesday, and it's yet to still catch a skunk. And so I've actually gotten to the point of praying over the traps for God's Holy Spirit to attract the stinker in and allow him to be, he or she, to be moved safely to the wild. But one of the things that happens, at least in our family, is it seems like a yearly tradition that when birthdays come, we tell the story of that birthday. And so Wednesday was Madison Joy's 9th birthday. I can't believe she's 9 years old. She was just a 3-year-old little nugget when we got to this church. And Madison, she's a fun story, and I love telling the Madison story, because 2 weeks before Maddie was due, all of a sudden, I started itching like crazy. My hands and my feet. I mean, it's an itching like I have never felt before. And I had no idea what this was. What was going on? Was it related to the pregnancy? What? But it was driving me crazy. And so the Tuesday, 2 weeks before she was born, I went to my weekly doctor's appointment to check on things and to see if we were progressing and getting towards a baby coming into this world. And of course, we were nowhere near a baby coming into this world, but I mentioned this itching to the doctor, and she was like, She goes, well, I think I might know what it is, but it's a real long shot, so we're going to take some blood work, and we will see, and if the blood works the way that I'm suspecting, it might be time to have this baby. And I'm like, whoa. And I said, well, I'm leaving directly from this appointment. I got to go to a 2-day ministry training that's required in my work to get ordained. I got to be there for 2 days. I have to get through this. And she said, okay, you go to your training and we'll get blood work. And she goes, well, where are you going? And I said, well, the Mary and Joseph Retreat Centers in Rancho Palos Verdes. And she goes, oh, that's in Torrance. So if anything happens, go to Torrance Memorial. It's a fantastic hospital. Little did I know that Torrance Memorial would become a hospital that I knew. God was giving me like a little heads up on what was coming. But she said, that's the plan, and you might get a phone call from me when test results come in. We'll see. So off to my training I went. 2 days of miserable training because I spent the whole time itching like crazy and going through all these Braxton Hicks. It was horrible. I don't think I learned anything because of being so distracted and wondering about these test results and wondering if I would be visiting this place called Torrance Memorial Hospital to have a baby. But I made it through my training, and we come back into town, and we go directly from the training back to the OB's office to see what the test results were. And we're sitting in the exam room, and Dr. Safi comes in, and I love Dr. Safi. If she could just be my permanent doctor, I would take it. And she comes in, and she's just this little Filipino woman, and she comes in, and with the sweetest voice that she has every week, she walks in, and she pats her hand on my knee, and she says, I have good news for you. Today we are going to have a baby, and you are not going to freak out, and you are not going to panic, and you are not going to go home for anything, but you are going to go straight to the hospital. They're waiting for you. They have a bed ready, and we're going to have a baby. Isn't that good news? It ends up I had cholestasis and my liver was shutting down because of this baby, so we had to get her out so that my liver would stop making me itch. And so off to the hospital we went, and a whole night of induced labor that was miserable because my body does not like Pitocin, and my blood pressure kept dropping, and her blood pressure kept dropping. And finally at 9:07 in the morning, Madison Joy emerged into this world and changed our lives forever. Can I get an amen for those that have been affected by Madison Joy into this world? She's my spitfire, she's my energy, she's my creative and fun one that I love so much. But on our birthday, we tell this story, and I've got Kylie's story and Aiden's story too, and they're both unique in their own ways. But it's that remembering of how birth happened, how life changed, and how God produced this miracle of life. And isn't that just what we're doing this morning? We're celebrating a birth, and we're telling that story we tell every year. And it's even more entertaining than Madison Joy to hear about these disciples gathered to eat and to worship and to celebrate Pentecost, not the Pentecost that we know, not the Pentecost that we celebrate. They had no idea that the Holy Spirit was coming. They had no idea that these sounds of earthquakes and violent rushing winds and fires coming were the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had given them the heads up. Let's look for a minute at John 14. And twice over, Jesus does this, letting them know that he is leaving, but that an advocate would be coming, that there was someone else that would come to take his place to be present with the disciples. And here he says in John 14, starting at verse 25, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you." Heads up, disciples, I'm still with you, and that's not gonna last much longer. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will do what? Will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He says, here comes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's gonna teach you. The Holy Spirit is gonna be my presence. Earlier he says, the Holy Spirit is the one who will come and be the Spirit of truth, that will be the one that the world neither sees nor knows, but you will know him, for he lives with you and you will be in him. Here Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's coming. Nothing like you have ever seen before. And then we get into Acts, and it's like nothing seen before, right? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, those fires that the kids colored this week. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the spirits enabled them. The Holy Spirit not only came and was Christ's presence, but the Holy Spirit was inciting something that was already in them. These gifts that they had just exploded through the Holy Spirit. And now today, 2,000 years later, as we celebrate the Holy Spirit, as we celebrate this day that the church was born and that God's Holy Spirit came to rest with us for all eternity, we must ask that question: what does it mean? What are we exactly called to do with that Holy Spirit? What are we called to do with these words that we all speak in different tongues but are able to understand each other? What is this all for? And you know, y'all, I have to tell you that at this point in the sermon, I had a whole different way that I was going on this morning. And then last night happened. And I'm reading the news last night. And I woke up this morning. And I was ready to cry at what was going on. Heartbroken at what's going on in our community, what's going on in our world, what's going on in downtown LA right there, what's happening in Minneapolis, what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's happening is something I couldn't ignore today. I had to change my course. I had to pivot. I had to let the Holy Spirit speak this morning. And I thought of all the days for Pentecost to land, to be in the midst of something can't be a coincidence. It can't be without God having intention in it. So I spent this morning open to God and trying to hear that voice of guidance, trying to hear the Holy Spirit speak the message that we need to hear. And where did it take me? But it took me not to the Gospels, not to Acts, but it took me right into the prophets. To be exact, it took us into the prophet Micah. And wondering, what is it that we do with this Holy Spirit? I believe is asked and answered right here in Micah. Chapter 6, verse 8. So many of you know it, but hear it with new ears and hearts this morning. As the prophet says, he, meaning God, has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord want us to do with this Holy Spirit that's inside of us? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I began doing my research at this, wondering about justice. It's not something I often speak about, and my heart is broken that I so often stay silent on this topic. And not feeling the words were in my mouth, I went to seek some stronger powers. And where did I find? But the man of justice himself, Martin Luther King Jr. He spoke of justice and he spoke of the church, and I think he could be standing here right now speaking this on Pentecost. And he says, a church that has lost its voice for justice is a church that's lost its relevance in this world. Does that cut to your heart like it cuts to mine? That call that says if we as a church want to be relevant, if we as a church want to be who God has made us to be, that we must seek justice. That we must seek for things to be right in this world for all people. But Martin Luther King, it wasn't enough. What is this justice? What is it that we're called to do to make justice happen when it seems like the world is exploding with violence? And I found Gandhi. What a powerful man who's lived in this world. Nope. Pope John Paul II. We'll get to Gandhi later. Pope John Paul II says these words, "If you want peace, work for justice. If you want justice, defend life." Who out there can say that they don't want peace right now? Who out there can read the news, scroll through social media, spend time seeing anything that's happening, and not inside of you just desire for there to be peace? To say that there's enough going on with all this hate and rage and anger and violence erupting. To desire for God on this Pentecost to come down and to bring peace. And what does Pope John Paul II say? If we want peace, we must seek that justice that God talks about in Micah. And how do we get that justice? By defending life. For us to look at the text and to hear that God finds all life sacred, from that skunk in my backyard that's sacred and deserving to live, to all the human beings on this earth. And how do we do our part in defending life? How do we do our part in speaking in our hearts and when called out loud to speak in defense of all God's children? How do we do that? I believe it comes in the second call in Micah, to love kindness. Right now, more than ever, what are we needing the Holy Spirit to do in all believers but to spread kindness. If we see what's happening, what do we need to do? Fight violence with kindness. To fight injustice with kindness. To be the spark that starts what's good in this world. To be the spark that shows how we are to live with one another. To be the spark that shows how we see the value in all people. Kindness, it's one of those 9 gifts of the Spirit that we looked at last week. And now more than ever, we need it. But how do we do that? I think it goes to the third part, and to walk humbly with our God. And now we go to Gandhi. Now we go to Gandhi. Because I believe Gandhi wraps all this together as he's quoted to say, "Love is the strongest force the world possesses." Do you hear that first part? Love is the strongest force the world possesses. What is the strongest power the Holy Spirit has given us? Love. How do we know? Because Jesus loved unconditionally, loved us and planted it in our hearts in hopes that we would love in the same way that he does, that we would show it to all people and we would show it in all ways. Jesus modeled it, and Jesus asked us with the help of the Holy Spirit to live it in this world, multiplied by the billions who've received the Holy Spirit. But let's look at the second half, because Gandhi says, love is the strongest force the world possesses. That is the greatest power that we have. And yet, it is the humblest imaginable. To truly love, to truly be love, and to truly be loved, we have to be humble. And isn't that what Micah said in the third one? To walk humbly with your God. Humble that's not about lifting us up. Humble that's not about putting us as the priority. Humble that's not about our needs and desires and wants first. But humble that says, I lower myself to God. And I lower myself to be able to love others as a priority. So how on this Pentecost, how on this day that we celebrate the birth of the church, how on this day when we celebrate the Holy Spirit and all things good and right that comes from God, do we take all of that to seek with every part of our being justice? And not to seek it through violence. God does not condone violence. God is not condoning or accepting those who are taking this to light fires and destroy businesses and cars and to put violence against other people and to loot businesses. That's not justice. But how do we seek to have a justice that stands up when we see something that isn't right? And to call it what it is. To seek justice and to see another first. This week I was seeing all that was going on and I began to think about my life and to allow the Lord to humble me. And I was thinking about growing up, I was a tomboy in its fullness. I cut my hair as short as it could be. I played Little League baseball with the boys, trying like crazy to keep up with them on the field, even though they were bigger and stronger and better than me. But I was out there trying to be just like them, to not be seen as different, but to be seen as one of the team. And then in middle school, I joined Boy Scouts. I found the loophole and joined a troop of girls that had Boy Scout badges, and we went to Boy Scout competitions and campouts. And what did we want to do? But we didn't want to just survive. We wanted to win. We wanted to show that we could fit in with them and that we could keep up with them and that we could beat them as girls living in this boy world. And then here I picked ministry. What percentage of this world says that as a female, I can't be a pastor? That this is a man's job and only for a man? Here, there's always been these struggles in my life to put aside my gender and say, don't box me in because I know what I want to do. And I could have at any point tried to say that it's unjust to be treated as less as a female, that it's unjust to be told what I can't do because of the gender I was born with. But I had to stop and put myself in this truly humble box and to realize no matter where I've thought I've been treated unfairly, that I have not even had a taste of what so many experience every day. I am privileged because of what I was born into, not because of what I worked for or earned, but simply because of where and how I was born. I have to humble myself and realize that privilege. And to humble myself and realize that privilege, then I can put on a lens to try to see how others live, to try to see the fear that others live in, to try to see that others don't have what comes so easily to me, to see what's happening in the streets is because of an injustice that I have never known. We as Christians are asked to humble ourselves, to see what is going on, to see what isn't right, and to seek in any way that we can to help try to make it right, to try to be the people that say the Holy Spirit and God does not allow us to be racist, sexist, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, anti-other human being. How do we take this Holy Spirit on this day and not be people who turn a blind eye to what's going on, but how do we seek to be a people that want this world changed, that want to do our part, to act justly, to seek kindness, and to walk humbly with our God that puts the other first and seeks for the Holy Spirit to guide us to be the church, not by a building, but by the verb of how we show Christ's love in this world and combat the hate, the violence, the anger, and the outrage, and to do it with love. My friends, will you pray with me? And after I begin our prayer, we're going to move into the Lord's Prayer, done a little bit differently today, because what is Pentecost about? But Pentecost is partly about building bridges between people. They all spoke in different languages, but they all understood one another. And so at my prayer, I'll transition us into the Lord's Prayer, and thankfully Wednesday has agreed to speak the Tagalog part of the prayer because it's such a beautiful language and I don't want to do it unjustly on this morning where we seek justice. And so after I pray, I invite us to go into the Lord's Prayer, and you can pray with me in the words of English, you can pray with Wednesday in the words in Tagalog, or you can pray in the words that speak to your heart in whatever language it might be, as we gather together as the people of the church. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the church that brings us together, the church that provides a safe haven and community for us, the church a place where we can experience your presence to be in worship and study and fellowship, a church whose buildings we are mourning being locked out of right now. But we allow those locks to stay on because of a deep desire to put the health and well-being of our church and our community before our desire to be inside. And on this day, we ask you that you help instill in us a desire for your justice that doesn't provoke more violence and hate, but that your justice that brings peace and equality, your justice that lifts up those who are being held down, that lifts up those who need you now more than ever. Help us to be the church that shows your love in a mighty and powerful way so that your light can shine out the darkness of this world, and help us to be the people that we know we are capable of being. And Lord, as we celebrate on this day, being your church, we as the church gather our voices together to pray your prayer taught to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. And we speak in each of our own languages, knowing that all the language of the world are your beautiful languages, spoken from our hearts to yours. And so we pray, our Father,
Ama namin,
who art in heaven,
sumasalangit ka,
hallowed be thy name,
sambahin ang ngalan mo,
thy kingdom come,
mapasa amin ang kaharian mo,
thy will be done,
sundin ang loob mo,
on earth as it is in heaven,
dito sa lupa para nang sa langit.
Give us this day our daily bread,
ibigay mo sa amin ngayon ang aming kakanin sa araw-araw,
and forgive us our trespasses,
at patawarin mo kami sa aming mga sala,
as we forgive those who trespass against us,
gaya ng pagpapatawad namin sa mga nagkakasala sa amin.
And lead us not into temptation,
huwag mo po kaming ihatid sa tukso,
but deliver us from evil,
bagkus ay iligtas mo kami sa masama.
For thine is the kingdom,
sapagkat sa iyo ang kaharian,
and the power,
ang kapangyarihan,
and the glory,
at ang kaluwalhatian,
forever,
magpakailanman.
Amen.
Shanawa.
Amen. Amen. Amen.